Well, happy Monday to you, and welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Dean Fulks. I'm the lead pastor here at LifePoint. I do the majority of teaching at our Lewis Central campus, and I'm grateful that you've taken the opportunity to be with us today. Hope you had a great weekend. This past week, we continued our guardrail series, looking at the Ten Commandments, and we talked about the seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. And we looked at it in the context both of what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, where he repeats the commandment, and what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and chapter 7, which I think to be some of the most, if not the most, comprehensive teaching on sexuality and lust and adultery in all the scriptures. So I think the first thing we established was in the New Testament, the word adultery comes from the Greek word porneia, which really means all sex outside of marriage. So it's not just sex outside of a marital relationship. Just the only reason we said all that is to say it applies for single people and married people. And, you know, this message is just, it's not an easy one to hear. Some people have great marriages. Some people have mediocre marriages. Some people have rocky marriages. Some single people look at, you know, married people and think, man, I don't want to do that. And then other people are single who've gone through the painful realities of divorce, which is incredibly difficult. So this message hits people all in very different ways. But when God says, thou shalt not commit adultery, every thou shalt not is every negative is also a positive. I think he is saying thou shalt have a great marriage. And so what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 is, listen, don't join your body to a prostitute because you become one with them. You know, people are dying in Corinth at alarming rates of sexually transmitted diseases. And so Paul says, listen, don't do that. And at the same time, he says that a husband's body is not his own. It belongs to his wife. And a wife's body is not her own. It belongs to her husband. So he advocates for this covenant relationship between two people surrendered to your relationship with the Father. We talked about it like a marriage triangle with God at the top of the triangle and the husband and the wife at the bases. And the closer that a husband and a wife personally, individually get to God, the closer they get to one another. And so there's this humility and vulnerability and acceptance that we find in our relationship with God, the closer that we get to Him, which allows for so much more, not only compatibility, but acceptance and vulnerability with each other. So, and we said that Paul is very clear. And I know the verses there in 1 Corinthians 7 have been, you know, historically utilized, I'm generalizing here, but by men to kind of demand, you know, affection from their wives, you know, kind of in an on-demand fashion. But the reality that Paul says is, listen, this is not a one-sided affair. Rather, you know, it's not the culture's view. You know, capitulate to what the culture says about sex. And at the same time, as the church, historically, we've kind of pretended like it doesn't exist. And I think we do our kids a disservice, quite frankly, in that, because then all they have to rely on is the view of the culture. I think husbands and wives living in loving relationships together inside the context of monogamy, inside of a Christian home where we lovingly, you know, continue to date and flirt with one another, man, I believe that gives our kids the best vision for marriage and sensuality in a way that glorifies God, to the degree that we kind of landed on this reality that God's the one who owns our bodies. He bought them on the cross through the person of Christ. And so that means we use them the way that he says, not the way the culture says, not the way that maybe historical Christianity has said, but the way that he says. And so surrender to him, we can then surrender to one another. And so the most satisfied people, the most satisfied single people in Delaware County should be the ones who are fleeing sexual immorality because they are fleeing to him. You run from something to something. The most satisfied people in terms of marital sex in Delaware County should be monogamous Christian couples living in a healthy relationship with one another. And I know that brings up a lot of issues regarding things like patterns of addiction and pornography and other things, a lot of painful issues, sometimes medically, sometimes historically, in terms of our backgrounds. And as a church, man, we would love to help in any ways that we can, whether that's a counseling referral or whatever it is that we can do, recommending a resource. Man, we would love to be helpful. One of the resources that I mentioned is there's an organization particularly aimed at men called the Samson Society. It's a national organization where men kind of live in that transparent vulnerability and acceptance of one another. And so we'd be more than happy to do anything we could to help you get connected. So I'm going to pray these realities into our life today and then give you the opportunity to pray. God, I pray today these ideas regarding sexuality, I wouldn't just pray them, God, from our own strength. We don't have the capacity to deal with them, but rather, God, to live out this glorious vision that you have for human beings, our bodies surrendered to you, living in concert with one another in monogamous, faithful Christian covenant marriage. Lord, I pray that that reality would be true of us, whether we're single, whether we're married, God, that we'll never be married to a perfect person. But God, we also don't have to live in isolation. So God, we ask for your grace, for your care, for your love. Today, God, we want to walk faithfully with you because you bought us. You paid the price with your own blood on the cross. And so God, because of that, you're the greatest love of our lives. It's in your name we pray. Now you take the opportunity to pray.